Welcome back to another episode of Small Talk, the podcast. Today's episode, Black at a PWI. Hope you had some time just to sit back and reflect and think about what has occurred this day, what has occurred on today, what has occurred this week, what has occurred this month. I know for me personally, it has been a very stressful month, 2 months. School has been very stressful and we've been really getting into the heat of things, midterms and testing, getting things out the way before the Thanksgiving break. So it's been very stressful and it's been helpful for me to sit, reflect, relax, and just recuperate. Sit, reflect, relax, and recuperate. So I hope that minute or so was beneficial for you to sit back, reflect, relax, and recuperate. Guys, today I'm excited about today's episode. Today's episode is Black at a PWI. For those who don't know, I go to Loyola University, Maryland, located in, you guessed it, Baltimore, Maryland. And it's a private Catholic Jesuit institution right in the city of Baltimore. But it's almost like its own bubble, its own little world inside of a world. And today I want to have a small talk with you all and talk about my life and talk about my experiences, talk about how I feel being a young 20-year-old African-American male in Baltimore City, born and bred in Baltimore City, but going to a Jesuit Catholic college and university. Guys, first and foremost, as you all know, or you might not know, now I'm an interdisciplinary major with fine arts and theology. This past semester, I've just decided to do an interdisciplinary major with fine arts and theology, and I'm so excited about the choice that I've made because I love to sing, I love music, I can see myself teaching and doing something in the music industry, whether that be a vocalist or whether that be an educational teacher honing down upon music ed. But also I love theology, I love the Bible, I love the study of God, I love how those things come together, I love looking at and exploring different religions and understanding why they do the things they do, why they worship, how they worship, what their beliefs are. I love those things, and ultimately in my life it's always been my dream, it's always been my goal to be a pastor, and right now I have the drive and the vision I want the study. I love the study of God, the nature of God. So just recently, I made the awesome decision to do an interdisciplinary major with fine arts and theology. And I do believe that I am the only African-American in that major. And I often find myself on campus at a daily basis looking on campus, and I can often find myself in the classroom and being the only African-American male. I can be in the office that I work in and find that I am the only African-American male. I can find in the ensembles that I'm in, I can look and I can see that I'm the only African-American male. And I think many times in society, when we think about these things, when we reflect of being the only something, of being peculiar, as the Bible says, that God calls us a peculiar people, a holy nation, chosen by Him. However, we know the difficulty that comes with being different, the difficulty with being the only person. I look on my campus and the other African-American males that I see on campus are on a sports team. They are on the basketball team. They are not me. You know, we are completely different. I am a fine arts major. I am spending most of my time in the student center, spending most of my time in campus ministry, spending most of my time in the recording studio and the marketing and the communications floor. And in that area, that's where I am. I'm not in another community, another bubble of only the sports team, the athletes of the bunch, because we know the politics that come with the athletes in universities. They are untouchable. They are completely different. I'm just a young black man who loves dressing nice, loves wearing a button-up shirt almost daily, being told each day, you look nice, you look good, or coming into my theology class and one person telling me that you look nice per usual. You know, I've never thought that you even looked my way, you know, because I am the only. And many times in life, feeling like we are the only blank, you fill that in, feeling like you are the only blank, it is difficult and it's hard. It's causes stress on your life. It causes you to feel alone. It causes you to feel like you are not welcomed and if you don't belong. And sometimes being an African-American black man from Baltimore City, graduating from City College High School and coming to Loyola University, Maryland, I can feel as if I don't belong. And I'm not saying that I'm not there based upon merit. I had the grades. I had the story. I had the essay. I had the extracurriculars. I had it. But I am. I did have to check that box. African American or black. And I was sharing with my campus ministry team. We had a meeting, and right now we're reading a book that discusses racial justice. And it comes from, of course, the Ignatian spirituality background of it. But it discusses racial justice. And it discusses the love that God has for us. But it's mind-boggling that we don't have and express that same love that God has for us to others. And so that's where inequality crept in. That's where this sin crept in. This racial injustice, racial inequality, that's where that came in. And me being one of the only African-American males on the campus of Loyola, it's easy for me to look and feel, and I share this with my campus ministry team, and feel like I am the project. People who are black and have been around white people and have had white friends, once in your life you have felt this way, that you were the project of your white friend. Sometimes I can feel as if, are they only talking to me because I'm black and they want me to be that diversity count and they want me to bring diversity to their group? Am I only being communicated with because they look at me as this doing a good deed? Or do they really love me? Or do they really care for me? Do they really want to be connected with me? Do they really feel as if I have something to offer and something to bring to them? Or am I just another black project? And I've never wanted to feel that way. And I must admit that I have, but it's not something that is super duper major to the point where this is all I think about in life, because I know that God has created me to be an amazing person and that what I have to offer is global. The message that I have is global. The love that I have for all people of all nations, of all creeds, of all things, the love that I have, God has given that to me. And He wants me to share that with the world. And so, it could have been easy for me to transfer and go to another school because I am the only. But as I continue on the campus of Loyola, I realize each day another reason why God made it so that I would be at Loyola. Why He made it so that I made friends there. Why He made it so that I felt welcome there and wanted to remain in this place. Every day, God gives me another reason of why Loyola is my home. I'll share a quick story with you. It was my sophomore year. I remember I was living on campus, and several times a week, I won't be extreme to say a day, but it felt like it. several times a week, I would be walking on campus and I would be called a name that was not my name. Most people know my name is Mark Monnier. See, almost said the name that they called me because they said it so much that I would just go with it. Several white people would walk up to me and greet me and say, "Hey, Marcus." And of course, Marcus is another African-American male that was on the campus. But my name isn't Marcus. Marcus and I don't look alike. But what do Marcus and I have in common? We are both black. And we both wear glasses. We're not the same height. Not the same skin complexion. We don't do the same thing. We don't say the same things. We don't speak the same way. We don't walk the same way. But Marcus and I are both black and we both wear glasses. I remember there was a time where my uncle was going to Friends School of Baltimore, a private high school / middle school. But we live not too far from the campus of Loyola. My grandmother lived not too far from Loyola. And so my uncle would walk to his school. And I remember the story being told that he would try to walk and cut through the campus of Loyola because it's a shortcut. He would be able to just cross over, save him a few steps to get to school, and he would be run off the campus because he was a black man. Now I look at me being able to walk on that campus with my head held high, not being ran off the campus, having access to get into the buildings, having access that other people don't have access, walking up to the president, shaking his hand, president coming into the campus ministry office and saying, "Hey, we go way back, you know where, Chick-fil-A," because the president came to my job one day. And from then, he's remembered me. But I'm able to chat with him. And for him to know me, for him to recognize me. To plant seeds on the campus of Loyola, whether that be through campus ministry, whether that be through the theology club, whether that be through gospel choir, concert choir, whether that be through recording studio, wherever that may be. But while some people have horrific encounters being black at a predominantly white institution, the only reason why that occurs is because of racism. And racism only occurs because of people being stubborn. People not wanting to make a change. People letting the generational curse of racism continue to pass down through generation. And not taking a stand and saying, "No, this is actually wrong. God said to love all people. God said, what you've done to the least one of me, you've done it to me. What you've done to that little black boy when you ran him off and scared him off of the campus because you didn't want him to cut through? You did that to me. But we can't start worldwide. I remember having a conversation with some campus ministry staff, interns, before we got into the positions that we're into now during that retreat period. But I said, and I want to leave this with you all on today, this is my Monier's motivation. Stop automatically thinking global and think local. Now, I'm not saying that to say that you will never be global, but many times we want to be activists and we want to automatically go to the White House. But we have skipped so many steps just to get to the White House. Sometimes we need to start with what we can handle. If I tell my friend group and you tell your friend group, that begins to spread like a virus. If I express to you the love of God, and I share that with you, you share the love of God with your friend, and your friend to their friend, and their friend to their friend, it will get out. We can't automatically say, I want to end child hunger, and I want to end child hunger, and I'm going straight to the Supreme Court. No. What are you doing in your neighborhood? What are you doing in your local community to make a change? The Bible says, go out into all the world, teaching them the gospel. How do we get out into all the world? There's several ways in which we can do it right now. I'm doing it right now. I'm going out into the airways and going out into podcast sites and networks and Instagram and social media. That is how we make a change. We do what God has called us to do. And God has called me to be on the campus of Loyola University, Maryland. God has called me to be the other. God has called me to be black at a PWI. God has called me to do that. And the calling hasn't been fulfilled completely. I'm still figuring out day by day what God wants me to do, the way in which he wants me to move, how he wants me to talk, how he wants me to do these things. But there's no place that I see myself other than at Loyola. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. And so there comes a time where we must be the other. But do you allow the poison to creep in and to say that you are alone because you are the other? But do you allow God to say, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous am I in the eyesight of God. Are you going to say that God has called me to this? God wants me to be in this. I want you all to remain encouraged, to remain focused in what God is calling you to do. And if you don't know, just ask. That's the beauty of God. He allows you to ask, to be open and honest, and to question. He allows you to wrestle with what you believe, what you want to believe, what you think you should believe. God allows that from you. And honestly, he requires that from you. Because you must know for yourself. I must know for myself that I am chosen by God and that God has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for my life. Even being black, surrounded by white people on a daily basis, what change am I making? What generational curse am I breaking? What stereotypes am I alleviating? What are you doing to be the best version of you that you can be? Doesn't matter if you're the only female in the class. Doesn't matter if you're the only Latino on the job. Doesn't matter if you're the only Christian surrounded by scientists who are atheists. What are you putting out there? What are you alleviating? Guys, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. I want you to really reflect upon what changes are we making in our lives. What do people look at us and see? How are we portraying ourselves? Are we portraying ourselves in the best light? Guys, I want you to have the most amazing day that you can have. As Mr. Rogers would say, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And as I'm going to say, because it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, get out and make sure that the beauty that is in the neighborhood is you.